Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone to our service this morning, and I would like to greet you with the words we find in Ephesians in chapter 1, where Paul writes, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." So let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you have blessed us with. We thank you for this beautiful world that you have made, that you have given us to live in, to work in, and on a morning like this, the opportunity and the privilege to be in God's house, where we can worship you, we can sing, we can pray, and we can learn from the scripture that you have given us. And we ask that your presence will be with us this morning. You will lead us in our prayers and our thoughts. And Lord, we pray that we will have prepared our hearts for what will be presented this morning, the scripture verses that will be presented, and that they will speak to each and every one of us, as they should. Lord, we pray also for those who cannot be here, the sick, the elderly. We pray especially for those who are struggling with their faith. And may you give us the opportunity to encourage them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In your blue hymnal, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," 517. For those who are able, let's stand for the singing. Near the cross.
Yeah.
34, how great thou art.
Thank you. Gisteren ond als we een bad weer. Hij slijpt al. Vaak laat naar wakker. Van kon te beden. Wil beden. Toen is ik nieuw. Toen me ook dan weer doen. Dial mensen. En dial mensen. China van de oud met het leider on. China had met het leider on. De jinje alle bloes langzaam waar ik zag de bloes van een. Ik zei, Heer, wat zal dit? Wat is dit? Wat meint het? Wees me, Heer, wat meint het? Ik weet niet. Je dit kort jij al even, denk je? Ik weet niet. Had zijn antwoord nog niet gekregen.
The first song that was sung this morning had to do with prayer, and I thought it was rather fitting because that is what I want to talk about this morning. If we turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Now, it does not tell us here where Jesus is or his disciples are. It just says when he was in a certain place praying. And when he had finished, his disciples asked him, "Teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray." And then the next few verses, 2, 3, and 4, Jesus gave them a short version of the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to talk about that prayer, but first, a few things about what does it mean to pray. First of all, what is prayer? Well, first of all, it's communicating with God. Prayer is a spiritual communion with God. For example, when we ask for forgiveness, we pray to God and ask him to forgive us of our sins. It is a form of a petition or request, as it is when we repent and accept salvation, or when we ask for spiritual wisdom and guidance in our daily affairs and in our relationships with God and each other. Prayer is also an awareness of God's power, as in praise and worship, thanksgiving, and in confession of sin, and so on. And very often when we pray, or we think of praying, we think of asking for things, and rightly so. The Bible tells us to do that. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you." But we have to ask according to his will. It is also a way of giving thanks. Philippians 4, it says, "In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So prayer can be an individual communication with God, as when we pray aloud or alone, or it can be a prayer together with others when we are in a group. We can pray not only for ourselves, but also for the other people we are with. It can be a silent prayer, or it can be aloud. Now, when we read in Scripture, prayer is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 4. Now, I would like to read one verse in Genesis chapter 4, in verse 26, and it says, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." That's Genesis 4, 26. And that's the first place it talks about people calling on the name of the Lord or communicating with God. And it was appropriate that the descendants of Seth, now Seth was the third son of Adam and Eve. Yes, Seth was their third son. Seth also had a son called Enos, and from him descended a man called Noah. God spoke to Noah, told him to build an ark, and he built an ark on dry land, and through that he was saved from the flood with his family. It was also from a descendant of Noah that where a man from Abraham came from. Abraham was the man that God chose to be the father of his chosen people. And from these chosen people, Mary and Joseph descended, from whom Jesus was born. So it was appropriate at the time that these people started to call upon the name of the Lord. They started to pray to God, so they communicated with him. Excuse me. Now, it does not tell us how these people prayed, but we have in the Old Testament many examples of intercessory prayer where people prayed for others. We also have examples where they prayed for themselves. When we look at Moses, he prayed very much for the Hebrew people that he led out of Egypt. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, it says, Moses prayed 40 days and 40 nights so that God would not destroy the people because of their disobedience. And God listened to that prayer, and he did as Moses asked. We also have an example in 1 Samuel 1, verse 10, where a woman called Hannah, who had no children, went to the temple, and she prayed that God would bless her with a child, and he did. And a child called Samuel was born to her. Now, the Apostle Paul also gives us many prayers throughout the New Testament. He prays for himself, as he does when he asks God to remove a thorn from his flesh. What that thorn was, we do not know. But God said to him, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. He also prayed very much for the people whom he writes his letters to. And sometimes he prayed with great heaviness and sorrow, as he does in Romans chapter 9, where he writes a letter to the people, the Jewish people who are living in Rome. Jesus Christ is a very good example for us to follow in prayer. He prayed for himself, but he also prayed for others. When he was crucified, before he was crucified, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed for himself. And he prayed so earnestly that his sweat fell like drops of blood. But when he was hanging on the cross, after he was nailed to the cross, he did not pray for himself, but he prayed for those that nailed him to the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In Acts chapter 1, we also have examples where the disciples prayed. Now, I would like to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 24, where we have an example of prayer. The disciples have decided to replace Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, and they choose two men to replace him. And in verse 24, it says, and they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Then they chose lots, and they chose a man called Matthias. So they prayed before they made their final decision. We also have an example of how powerful prayer can be. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, again it tells us they were in one place. It says, when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So when they prayed, it was so powerful that the place they were in was shaken. But they were also, because of their prayer, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, when we pray, how are we to pray? Well, in Thessalonians 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Well, that tells us that we can pray wherever we are, whenever there is a need. Whether we're standing or sitting or whatever we are doing, there is always the opportunity to pray. We can sit, we can walk, we can lie down, we can kneel if we have to, if we want to. It does not matter. We can pray at any time without ceasing. We can pray as the need arises. But there is certain aspects of Scripture that teaches us about prayer, if it is possible. We are not always in a place where we can kneel or bow in prayer, but Scripture definitely teaches us the importance of kneeling or bowing. In Genesis chapter 24, we have an example of where a man is praying, and it says, the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. We also have an example of Moses when he prayed. And this, I don't think any of us ever do this, but in Numbers chapter 20, it tells us Moses fell on his face before God and he prayed. It also tells us in Matthew 26, before Jesus was crucified, he fell on his face before God and he prayed. We also have examples of people kneeling in prayer. 1 Kings 8, the King Solomon knelt before the altar. He lifted his hands to heaven and he prayed. The prophet Daniel knelt 3 times before an open window to pray. The apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 20, it tells us that he knelt with the people that he was with, and they prayed. Now there's also an example in Luke chapter 18 where 2 men went into the temple and they stood as they prayed. And it is also interesting, one was a Pharisee, one was a publican. The Pharisee, he looked up and he thanked the Lord that he was not as wicked and as sinful as other people were. The publican that was with, also standing in the temple to pray, he was so humble, he lowered his eyes and he prayed and said, Lord, have merciful to me, for I am a sinner. And Jesus also says in that example, the publican was justified, the Pharisee was not. Now there is different aspects of prayer, but it should be a way to communicate with God, to show our adoration of the presence of God, to acknowledge his presence as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It should be a way of meditating on God's word, a way of giving thanks for all the many blessings we receive, and to put our burdens into the hand of the Lord. Now, I read a verse before in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, where the disciples asked him to teach them to pray. Now I want to go back to that chapter, to that verse, and talk about the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gave them when the disciples asked him. First of all, the disciples have asked him to teach them to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. Now we do not know how many disciples John had. In John chapter 1, it talks about 2 of them. One was Andrew, Peter's brother. We also do not know what he taught them. But from this verse, we can tell, or we can understand, that John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. And Jesus' disciples also wanted to be taught to pray. And it is interesting that the disciples would ask Jesus to teach them to pray, because he showed them many times by example how to pray. If we turn to Luke chapter 3, when Jesus is being baptized, in verse 21, says, when the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. So when he himself was being baptized, he was praying. And that's a very interesting point, because when we are baptized, do we even think when we are, that baptism process is being, is in place, that we pray? Or do we pray beforehand and after? I don't know. But in this verse, it tells us when Jesus was baptized, he was praying. In Luke chapter 6, we also have an example where he went up a mountain and he prayed all night. Verse 12 of Luke chapter 6 says, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. Sometimes he went alone. Other times he took his disciples with him. Verse 18 of chapter 9, the disciples are with Jesus, but it tells us that he was alone. In verse 18 of chapter 9, it says, it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. It almost seems that he took his disciples to a place and then he went alone to pray. He wanted to be alone with God, his Father. But if we go back to Luke chapter 11, in verse 2, Jesus gives the disciples a very short version of the Lord's Prayer. And I will read that, those verses, verse 2 to 4. He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, this is not the Lord's Prayer that we use when we say the Lord's Prayer from memory. And it's almost like this one is not complete, because it does not finish the prayer. The one that is more complete we find in Matthew chapter 6, and it is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to go to that chapter and talk briefly about Matthew, the Lord's Prayer we find in Matthew chapter 6. But it also seems like in Luke chapter 11, Jesus gives them a short version of a prayer that he has already taught them. So if we go to Matthew chapter 6, we again have the Lord's Prayer. And again, as I go through this, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, I think you will find that it is not the prayer that we use when we recite the Lord's Prayer from memory. We see the Lord's Prayer sometimes written out on the wall, in people's homes, in churches. Sometimes they have the Lord's Prayer. It is not the one that's in Matthew chapter 6. And for many years, I could not understand why not. But I found out something that was rather interesting. The Lord's Prayer that we use comes from a Bible called the New Matthew's Bible. And it is one of the Bibles that was used to publish the King James Version. And the prayer in the New Matthew's Bible is exactly the one that we use when we say it from memory. And I found out at a funeral that I had, the family asked if they could say the Lord's Prayer. So I used the one in Matthew chapter 6, and it was very confusing because the words were different. And I finally found out why, because the one that we memorize, that we find on people's walls or in churches, is the one that comes from the New Matthew's Bible. And that Bible was used to to publish the King James Version, or one of the ones that was used. But it was also interesting, the New Matthew's Bible was written by two people, or translated from the German into English by two people, and before they could finish their translations, both of them were burnt at the stake because it was illegal to translate a Bible into English at the time. And the man that published the New Matthew's Bible, he also was burnt at the stake for doing that. But if we go to Matthew chapter 6, in verse 5, Jesus talks to his disciples and the people that are gathered. He talks about prayer. And the first thing he does, he tells them how not to pray. In verse 5, it says, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." When we pray to God, we are not to stand someplace where everybody can see us and make that the focus of our prayer. It is not a show that we are so spiritual because we are praying, that the prayer does not count at all. Then we are hypocrites if that is our focus of our prayer. Our prayer should be our communicating with God privately. Then in verse 6, it says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, I don't know how many people have a closet that is conducive to going into and shutting the door and praying. We do not. But that does not mean that we have to go into a closed closet somewhere that is full of other things. What Jesus is saying, we are supposed to go alone someplace where we can communicate with God privately. Now, that does not mean we cannot pray together with other people. But we should always have a certain time of the day where we communicate with God only. And that's why he said, go into a place where you can be alone and communicate with God. Then in verse 7, he says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You don't have to repeat over and over and over and over again something that you're asking for, or just have vain repetitions in your prayer. You have to speak to God honestly and seriously and pour out your heart to him. Also in verse 8, it says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. God knows what our needs are, but he also expects us to acknowledge our needs. God knows what our sins are, but he expects us to acknowledge them, and then they are forgiven. God knows what we need in our daily lives, but he expects us to acknowledge what our needs are so he can fulfill our needs according to what he knows. But then in verse 9, Jesus starts with the Lord's Prayer. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We are to pray only to our Father who is in heaven. We are not to pray to angels, not to the apostles, not to anyone else, but God himself. His name is holy, and we are to respect that, and we are to pray only to God himself. In verse 10, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we saying when we submit ourselves to God? Well, first of all, or when we pray to God, first of all, we are saying in verse 10, it says, thy kingdom come. What did Jesus say when he first started to preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His kingdom is coming. Every day it gets closer. But what else does he say in this verse? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are to submit ourselves to God's will. Not to the will that is on this earth, but the will that is in heaven. In verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Does God himself put our daily bread on the table when we ask him, give us this day our daily bread? No, he does not. Never have we seen God's hand put bread on the table. But what he does do is give us the strength and the ability to work for a living so that we can go and buy ourselves bread that we need to eat. God gives us the ability, the gifts of earning a living so that we can buy ourselves the food that we need. And it is our responsibility to use that ability. But then there is a question. What does he really mean when he says, our daily bread? Give us this day our daily bread. If we turn to John chapter 6, it talks about bread. In John chapter 6, verse 33, it says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. In Matthew chapter 6, is Jesus talking about the physical bread that we have on our table? Or is he talking about the spiritual bread that we need every day? In verse 33 of John chapter 6, it's talking the bread of God, who is Jesus Christ himself. That is our spiritual bread. Verse 35, Jesus himself says, I am the bread of life. Is that the bread that is talking about in Matthew 6? In verse 48, again, Jesus says, I am the bread of life, the bread of life that we need every day. And in verse 51, Jesus says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Is that the bread that it talks about in Matthew chapter 6? Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Our salvation starts with repentance. The first word that Jesus ever spoke when he started to preach. It tells us that in Matthew 4, 17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in Acts chapter 2, we read the same thing. When the Apostle Peter is asked, what shall we do? He says, repent, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we ask that God will forgive all our sins that we have committed. But then he requires us to also forgive the next person if they sin against us. In verse 14, it says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In Matthew 18, the Apostle Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? And Jesus answers, not seven times a day, but 70 times seven. Then in verse 13, Jesus finishes the prayer and he says, lead us not unto temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So if we have repented, if we have accepted Jesus Christ, God is in us, and through his Spirit, he leads us away from temptation. He will give us the strength and the ability to resist any temptation that is presented to us. And again, he finishes his prayer with the words, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So those are a few words about prayer. So in closing, let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ordinance of prayer, through which we can communicate with you. We can tell you our innermost thoughts. We can ask for help in time of need. We can give thanks for your blessings. We can call upon your name so that you can be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for all other things that we would like to speak to God about in prayer, I would like to give everyone the opportunity. So for those that are able, let us kneel in silent prayer. Please be gracious unto us. Yes, we have come to the conclusion of the first part of our service this morning, and I would like to thank you for being here and joining in our worship, and I will now close with a benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. And may you go in peace with the Lord.